If you have your Bibles and want to follow along, we'll be in Hebrews chapter 5 for just a few moments this morning. Hebrews chapter 5. You know that song that Gwen just led talks a lot about the story we hear. We hear about the mansions. We hear about a man named Jesus. But some sweet day, we'll sing up there the song of victory. It's a story we hear, but it's a true story that one day we'll experience for all eternity, because we have victory in Jesus. That's why we're here this morning. And if you're here with us this morning visiting, we want you to know just how thankful we are that you're here. We hope that while you're here, you feel like family, because that's what we are. We're a family of God's people that is just simply trying to do what God's Word tells us to do. We try to do that not only here on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, and Wednesday nights when we gather together, but we try to live God's Word every day of the week. And so if you're visiting with us, or if you're one of our own members, we're just also thankful that we can be together and we can worship our God together. You know, watching water flow down a river or down a hillside, you'll notice something, that water will always take the path of least resistance. If water is flowing through a river slowly and steadily, it will come to a rock, and what you'll see is the rock will stay in one spot and the water will simply just move itself around the rock. Or if it finds any other obstacles, if you've ever stood in a slow-moving stream, you'll see that you can stand in one spot and the water will just slowly find its way around you. It's just, it will flow in a nice, easy pattern, in a nice, easy stream. It will follow the path of whatever has come before it. Water just follows that nice, easy path. You know, we've been talking about this whole year raising the standard. And if you are visiting with us, you'll notice that while we do our scripture reading and our Lord's Supper, we have something that Jesus had done at some point in His ministry to raise the standard in some way, shape, or form. And so what we are doing this year is focusing on raising the standard in different areas of our lives. And the whole first quarter, we focused on the service that we give to God and we give to God's people and to other people. And just last week, we started on the idea of what it means to raise the standard in our worship. And this month, we're focusing on giving our best. Sometimes I think what happens when we start coming to services every week, or we take the Lord's Supper every week, or we start getting in the same routine day after day after day, what tends to happen is what you see on the screen here behind you. We get in our comfort zone. We get in our easygoing mode. It's just daily life, the routine, the flow. We're stuck in a rut, whatever we want to call it. And what happens is we become complacent. We become complacent with where we are. We become complacent with what we're doing. We love our job. We love the activities. We love our home. We love the hometown. You just become complacent. You become easygoing. You take the path of least resistance like that water. Something comes in your way, well, complacency takes effect and we just find our way around it. We kind of just keep on flowing. Now, there's a lot of good things about being complacent, being satisfied with one's achievements, as we'll look at in just a moment. But spiritually, when we become complacent, in my personal opinion, I think that's one of the many attacks that Satan will throw our way. When Satan tells us that we are complacent or we're happy with where we are, what tends to happen is we stop pursuing the greater things. We stop raising the standard. We stop pushing farther and start just maybe going with the flow. And we find ourselves just traveling the path of least resistance. I want to share with you this story. Well, it's not really a story, but just a few verses from Hebrews chapter 5. We're going to start reading in verse 12. But it is a story about people, people that had become complacent, and what the Hebrew writer had to say about it. Hebrews chapter 5, starting in verse 12, says this: "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore," it says in chapter 6, "leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, Not laying, again, the foundation of repentance from dead works and of the faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. You know, it's an interesting situation these people find themselves in the book of Hebrews, where the Hebrew writer has to almost scold these people, come down on them like children, or the babies that they are, or that he refers to them as. He says, at this time, you ought to be teachers. Which means there's been some time since the fundamental principles had been taught to them, the fundamental things of Christ, that they've been baptized believers. He says, you ought to be going to teach other people. You ought to be teachers at this point. But at this time, you need someone to teach you again. You should be striving towards the meat. And he says, but you're still needing the milk of the Word. The milk is for those, he says, that are unskilled in the Word of righteousness. For he is a babe. You know, oftentimes what we refer to these verses as, is we look at young Christians, and we look at new Christians, that someone that is just baptized, you know, we're not going to throw them up here to preach a 30 to 45 minute sermon on a Sunday morning, the Sunday after they're baptized. Why? Because, well, they might need a little bit more training, a little bit more milk of the Word. Let's ease them along before we start throwing the meat at them, right? And sometimes spiritually what we find ourselves doing is, and this is the concept I want us to try to get this morning, sometimes what we find ourselves doing is we might be skilled in the Word, but we might find ourselves spiritually just complacent. Where we're not striving for the greater and better things. We're not striving for the meat of the Word, but we're just kind of happy with where we are. And becoming complacent was a problem all too familiar in the ancient world. The Hebrew writer dealt with it here where he has to scold them and say, you're still like the babes where you need milk, where you should be needing the meat. That food, that solid food belongs to those, he says in verse 14, who are of full age, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. But Paul also dealt with it in the book of Corinthians. I want you to read these verses with me. They'll appear on the screen in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He says, starting in verse 1, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? He says, You should have been able to push forward. You should have been able to strengthen yourselves. You should have been able to keep learning and keep pushing forward. But instead, you have stayed exactly where I left you. Isn't that a scary thought? What? Just for example, if your boss were to come into you at work and say, listen, I need this done by the same time next week. I need a certain project. I need certain things done by this time next week. And he comes back at the same time next week, and you tell him, well, no, we haven't done that. We're still exactly where we were a week ago. How would your boss feel about that? Well, you may or may not have a job after that point. And if you still have a job, you might be written up or put on probation or whatever form of discipline there is at your place of work. But see, that's what Paul's getting at here. He says, I came and I taught you the fundamental principles. I taught you, or I fed you with the milk and not with solid food. Because until now, you were not able to receive it. In other words, he's saying, I gave you what you needed at this point. Then I left you to continue to strive towards the solid food of the Word. He says, but you're still not able. You should be eating the solid food of the Word by now, but you're still not able. And sadly, what we see in the spirit or in the ancient world, but also in our modern world, is people just become complacent in their spiritual lives. People become complacent in the congregation, and in turn, churches become complacent with where they are. And complacency, if there's complacency in a life or in the church, then sadly, growth cannot happen. People will let themselves be held back from growing and maturing in the Lord. And it wasn't just a problem that they had to deal with, but it was a serious problem that the New Testament writers felt like they needed to address. And as we look at this month on giving our best, we need to look at these examples of complacency in the Bible and say, well, that shouldn't happen to us. Not only as individuals, but as a church, let us never become complacent to where if Paul had to write a letter to us, he says, listen, y'all should be striving towards the meat. You're still on the milk. And that should make us think about some things. But what is complacency? You look at the definition of what complacency is, this is what you'll find in the dictionary here, showing smug or uncritical satisfaction with one's achievements. That is, when you achieve something, well, it's the same old. We're happy with what we've always done, and that's how it's always been. And so, well, let's just keep doing it that way. And you kind of get this sense of complacency, of maybe just being kind of stuck in the middle somewhere. Well, yeah, you might be doing some good things, so you're not towards the bottom of the barrel, but you're not really pushing towards the top of the barrel either. You're just kind of happy somewhere in the middle. And so what we see in regards of own personal lives and even of congregations of the Lord's people, when people become complacent, what we see is it just kind of zaps your energy. Have you ever seen someone come into work on a daily basis and they're just kind of there? They come in, they sit at their desk, they do their thing, they take their lunch break, they come back, they do their thing, they go home, and guess what happens the next day? They come in, they sit at their desk, they do their work, they take their lunch break, they come back, do their work, they go home, and the next day, well, it's the same thing over again. It's just kind of this dull routine that just kind of zaps your energy. Well, this is what we've always done, this is where we'll always be. And so we might as well just keep doing the things that we've always done. It dulls your attitudes. Have you ever walked into a congregation that you feel like you're at a funeral? I have, and it's not fun. When I walk into worship, I want to feel excited to be there. I want to be with people that are excited to be there. And I'll never forget, I was trying out at a congregation one time. They were looking to hire me, and I thought things were going really well until I got there Sunday morning, and everyone, you just walk in, and there was people all sitting in the pews already there. Silent. You could hear a pin drop in the place. Everyone that walked in, it was like, are we here for a funeral? Are we here to praise God? Because last time I read the book, he rose from the dead. But what happens is when we're complacent, well, it just kind of dulls our attitudes a little bit. And sadly, what happens in some of these things is we become complacent or we feel like our lives are dull outside of the church. And what happens is when we bring those feelings inside the church, or maybe something happens in your real life, but we find it creeping into the doors of the church because we come in with zapped energy, with a dull attitude. One preacher I heard talk about complacency called it, brain drain. It drains your brain. I'll never forget, there was one time in college where I just kind of thought I didn't need to put in the effort. I kind of knew what I thought I needed to do, and I knew it was actually a test coming up, and I thought, well, I know the material. It was my favorite subject. I know the material. And so I didn't really need to study for it because I'd been to every class and he told us what would be on the test. And so I just kind of became complacent where I got this. This is going to be easy. And I'll never forget, I walked in to the test. I sat down. I looked at the first question and it's like my brain just checked out. I said, I knew. I sat in this class. I know he went over this. I just couldn't remember it. And isn't that kind of the idea that the Hebrew writer gives here? That you still need the milk of the word, and the solid food is to those who are full age. Those by reason of use have their senses exercised. Which means they're not just satisfied with where they are. They exercise their senses to continue to grow. So instead of saying, well, I've already known that, I've been there, done that, they say, I don't care if we've been there, done that, let's do it again, and let's grow from this. And some of that's the point of testing in school, but when we become complacent, it just drains the brain. And I'm just going to throw these next few up here, but it makes us fear the unknown. That when we're complacent with where we are, we don't want to push forward. It makes us fear what we haven't done or where we haven't gone before. It makes us mistrust the untried. Well, we've never tried that before, so I don't know how well that will work here. I've never done this in my life, so I don't even want to touch that with a 10-foot pole, or whatever the situation is, because we're complacent, we're fine with where we are, and it makes us question the new. Maybe it's new members coming into a congregation. We say, well, wait a second, we've kind of had a good thing going here. Do we need new members? Churches all over this country are having to shut their doors and disperse because of these kinds of attitudes. Because when you start looking at what complacency does in a personal life and in the church, we find ourselves just being satisfied with things as they are. And we find ourselves saying, that's how it's always been, and that's how it will always be. You know, the Hebrews, they were fine with continuing to drink the milk of the Word. If it was left up to the Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 5, they would have continued to do the same things over and over and over again. They would have been just fine on the milk of the Word. They didn't need the meat in their minds. They were fine. They were complacent with where they were. And the Hebrew writer has to get on to them and say, no, no. Listen, if a baby, there's a time, and I've been through it twice now, and if you can't tell by the size of Eli, he got there a little faster than Landon did. But there's a time, and even a baby's life, where milk just doesn't cut it. You feed them milk, you know, whether it's formula or whatever, and you feed them milk. And there was a time I remember with Landon and with Eli that they'd finish a whole bottle and they're wanting more. And you can keep giving them milk and giving them milk, but nothing will satisfy what they're wanting like solid food. They need something more. They need a little more sustenance in their body. Now Eli, he'll eat us out of house and home if we let him, because he needs solid food. But even babies get to this point where they're not satisfied with the milk. But for some reason, in churches and in our personal lives, we're satisfied with it. We're satisfied with the milk of the Word or with where we are. And if babies have enough sense to know that they need more, how come we can't have that same sense? It's because complacency tells us that we should be satisfied with things just as they are. And we start to reject things that could be. There's a great quote I found in regards to this. It says, good enough becomes today's watchword and tomorrow's standard. That means that good enough becomes what we do from here on out. As long as what this church does is good enough, well, it's fine by us. As long as spiritually, individually, I give just enough to be good enough, well, then I'm fine by that. And if Sunday mornings is good enough, then I'll stop there. Or if reading my Bible once a week is good enough, then why do more? And that's kind of that mentality. We have that mentality in school. What do teachers give but extra credit? Smart kids, now I was not a smart kid, but smart kids will do the extra credit because they realize this could help me later. I had the mentality in school of, hey, I did what I need to do. That's good enough. And then I get to the end of the quarter and I say, ooh, wish I would have done a little bit more, right? Because obviously it was not good enough. But that's what complacency does. It makes us satisfied with good enough, and it rejects things that could be. We're afraid to take the next step forward for fear of the unknown. So we just stay right where we are. And it causes us to look back. When we start looking back, what we start doing is we either draw strength from things in the past that maybe have no strength for today, or we start comparing what can't ever happen because it never worked in the past. Some of one of the best examples I can give you is I was brought into a church as a young preacher. It was my very first job, and I was so excited to get working. You know, I was so excited the congregation wanted me as a young preacher just out of college. Brooke and I hadn't been married yet, and it's hard to find a preaching job if you're not married, because apparently preachers, they want you to have experience, but you can't get experience unless people hire you. It's a vicious circle as a young preacher. So I finally found a place, and they said, listen, you're young. That's what we want. We want you to come in with new ideas. We want you to tell us what we need. We just need a pair of fresh eyes. And so I was so excited to say, yes. Here's a congregation that wants someone to come in and say, here's what could work. Until we sat down in our first meeting, they said, Kevin, you're a preacher. What do you got for us? Well, have y'all thought about doing something like this? Oh, we did that 30 years ago. It doesn't work. Well, someone didn't have a cell phone 30 years ago. And if we had that mindset, you know, well, cell phones, they didn't work back then. What? Well, they obviously work today. Times change. And everything I brought up, no, we tried that 20 years ago. Never worked. Couldn't get the congregation on board. I said, is everyone in this congregation the same people as 20 years ago? Well, no. Well, maybe it will work this time. Well, we're just not going to try that. And as a young preacher, it was deflating just to see, isn't this why you brought me in? To say, let's try this. And the only thing that was holding us back was 30 years ago it didn't work. And the reason I bring that up is because what we find ourselves doing, whether it's as individuals or as congregations, is we find ourselves looking at things in the past, which is smart sometimes to learn from mistakes or to learn from things that have happened in the past. But when we become complacent with where we are, what we tend to do is we tend to just say, well, let's not do anything because what we're doing is working. And it's back to that mindset of what we're doing is good enough. So here's the question this morning. How do we fight that? How do we fight that mentality? Because we've all been there at some point. We've all had that mentality at some point of just kind of going through the motions or being fine with where we are. How do we continue to grow? And how do we fight that complacency? Well, the Hebrew writer gives one of I think the best ways to fight that, and that is, he says, to strive towards the meat. Look at what he'll say later on in chapter 6, starting in verse 11. He'll say, we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. In other words, he's saying, each one of us have the responsibility to be diligent, to not become sluggish, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. There's a reason why Hebrews chapter 11 is in this book. Because he's drawing back to this point here in Hebrews chapter 6. He says, let me give you a list of people who through faith have, and then fill in the blank. I mean, how many times do we read in Hebrews chapter 11, by faith, Abraham, by faith, Moses, by faith, and the list goes on and on and on. He'll get to the later in the chapter and he'll say, time would fail me to tell you of, and he just lists more and more and more and more. And he says, these are people who did not become complacent with where they were. They saw something greater out there. They saw the potential and they trusted in God. Can you imagine if God told Abraham, hey, I want you to leave here and I'm going to go to the land that I will promise you, that I have promised you. What if Abraham said, you know what, God, we're really good where we are right now. You know, we tried moving about 50 years ago, but didn't really work because we found that we like it here in Ur. That wouldn't sit well with God. And so Abraham got up and left. Can you imagine? Now, Moses did try this, and how did it turn out for Moses when God said, I want you to be my person to go to Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go. I don't know, God. I'm really kind of fine with what I'm doing here. I'm not a good speaker. I don't know what to say. Who's going to help me? I'd rather just stay here. I've kind of got a good thing going here. I've got a wife and kids now. I'm a shepherd. You know, I'm happy with where I am. God said, I don't think so. Go. I mean, that mindset, we would be never reading about the characters in this book if they didn't strive towards the meat. That is, strive for something greater. That is, go for the better. Or really, if we want to boil it down, trust in God. If they didn't trust in God for what He had planned for them, they became sluggish. We would never be reading about those characters. But instead, they showed the same diligence. And I'm sure many of the people we read about as great heroes of faith, I'm sure they had their moments of complacency. But I'm sure they also thought about maybe the forefathers before them and said, if I can imitate those. Maybe Moses, somewhere in his mind, said, you know what? If Abraham can do it, my forefather, I can do this too. I think there's a reason why God would oftentimes declare himself as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, almost to say to whoever he's talking to, listen, they did it, you can too. But I want you to think for just a moment for two different areas of complacency. And I brought them up quite a few times this morning already. But I want you to think just as a church. As a church at Marion Street, how do we strive towards the meat of God's Word? How do we push ourselves to be better? This church and this group of people that worship here together, we should always want to get better. And we should be asking ourselves, how can we take it to the next level? How can we be stronger? How can we be a strong pillar of truth in this community and in this world? How can we focus on moving forward together? I often wonder if the Lord were to write a letter to the church at Marion Street, much like he wrote a letter to the churches in Asia in the book of Revelation, what would he say? Would we be like Ephesus who lost their first love? Would we be like Smyrna who has blasphemers in their midst and we're doing nothing about it? Would we be like Pergamos and Thyatira who let the world influence their beliefs and they were conformed to the world and didn't transform themselves? Would we be like Sardis who the Lord calls dead? Or would we be like Laodicea who might be the prime example of complacency where they were fine with the lukewarm? They're neither hot or cold. Or would we be like Philadelphia? The only church that didn't have one bad thing said about them. And the Lord tells them exactly why. Why were they able to stay so strong? In Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, it says, because you have kept my command to persevere. How simple was that? They kept the command to persevere. That is, they weren't happy with where they were or where they had been, but they kept the Lord's command to push forward. To not be complacent, but to persevere. What does the Lord see in this church? Does the Lord look at Marion Street as a stale and stagnant group of God's people that are complacent in their ways? Or does the Lord see a church that has kept His command to persevere? Now, I want to mention something about this church here for just a moment. And so if you're a visitor, bear with me for just a moment. In my personal opinion, very few churches that I have seen are doing what we are doing here this year. That is, we have set goals for this congregation. The elders and I sat down in a meeting and then we then took it to the deacons and we sat down with them and we said, what does this church need? What does this church need to work on? And we came up with a whole list full of things that turned into our theme this year. Not a lot of churches do that. But we set goals to make sure we don't want to be complacent. As we're focusing on this month, we want to give God our best. And how can we do that if we have no direction? We don't want to be stale. We don't want to keep doing the same things. We want to get better. And so our goals this year were to raise the standard. Raise the standard in every aspect of life possible. Raise the standard in our service. Raise the standard in our worship like we're going through this quarter. Raise the standard in how we can lead individually in our lives and raise the standard for our families. Because the moment we become complacent in those areas is the moment that we will lose the battle against Satan. Satan wants us to be fine with where we are. Have you always done minimum service to God? Well, you're fine with that. That's good enough. But no, we want to raise the standard. Let's get better. Is your worship dull and boring and zaps energy out of people when they walk through the doors? That's good enough. At least you're here, Satan will say. Well, no, we want to raise a standard. We want to get better. Are you fine being with the status quo or just being a follower? Are you fine just doing whatever you're told? Or are you fine not doing anything in a congregation at all? Well, no, let's all rise up and be leaders. Are you fine with where your family's at? Are you fine with where your kids are spiritually, where they are mentally? Well, let's fix that and let's raise the standard, because Satan will say everything is good enough. Just be complacent. That's not what we're here for. We're here for the meat. We're here to strive to be better. And as a church, we need to continue to do that, to keep the command to persevere. And that's, I think, exactly what we're doing this year. But there's also an individual side of that. Where, you know what, the elders and I and the deacons, we can get together and we can say, this is what this church needs. Let's plan out this year. Let's have different activities, different gospel meetings. Let's have different classes that go with our theme. We can have a booklet in the back that you all can take. But if you don't take that booklet home and read it, well then, what good is it going to do? And if you don't pay attention to the front of the bulletin or the slides on the screen, well, what good are those going to do? And we can put all the plans in place to strive towards the meat, but if individually we are not giving our best effort, like we talked about last week, then what good is it going to do? We should be focused on growing spiritually. Are we pushing ourselves to grow, or are we fine with where we are? Are we trying to attend more Bible studies, more Bible classes? Are we developing personal goals? Like we have different objectives throughout the months for this church. Are we trying to reach those goals and reach those objectives? Are we studying, reading, praying, doing whatever we can to learn more about God, to grow closer to God? You know, there's an old story of a preacher where he was going to a congregation. Older, and when I say older, he's probably in his 80s, maybe early 90s. Didn't hold many gospel meetings, but he had worked at a congregation for about 30 years and then left to go to another congregation. So he decided, I'll go back and I want to hold a gospel meeting there since they asked me. And so he went. And he was staying with the current preacher at that congregation. Well, one morning, the current preacher, he woke up and he was, you know, getting breakfast ready and getting coffee made for this older preacher. He noticed that the older preacher's door was open and he wasn't in his room. So where could this guy be? So he's looking in every room of his house until finally he gets to his own personal study and his own personal library. And here this upper 80s, lower 90s year old man was sitting on the floor, books scattered about, just sitting there reading. And the younger preacher asked him, he said, what are you doing? I'm just getting ready for tonight, getting ready to preach. You know, we have this mentality that when we get to a certain point in our spiritual lives, it's okay to just coast. That maybe the older generation, they've been there, done that, they know it, they've experienced it, they're just coasting now. That older preacher, he wanted to learn. He found himself in a library of another preacher, just sitting down reading books about God, reading the Bible. He wasn't done learning. He wasn't done growing. He didn't want to become complacent, but he wanted to better himself. And we need to ask ourselves, as a church and as individuals, are we striving towards that meat? That if the Hebrew writer were to look at me in my life, would he say, you're still in need of the milk. You haven't even tried to take a bite of the solid food yet. You haven't even tried to move on from the fundamental things. If we're not growing for the Lord, think about this for a moment. If we're not growing for the Lord, then what are we growing for but for ourselves? It is up to us to decide that I am going to, as Paul writes in the book of Philippians, If you turn with me to the book of Philippians chapter 3. Starting in verse 12, Paul says there, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that which for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Before, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead. I press on, or I press toward, the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. If anyone could take a day off and coast, shouldn't it be Paul? But yet he said, it's not that I've already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on. I don't count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind and I reach forward to the things which are ahead. In other words, he's saying, I'm growing for God. I'm reaching forward for God. He's not becoming complacent. And listen, what we do all too often is we don't change because someone, some man says, it's better this way, or it never worked this way. And we don't change because the world says, mankind says, that we should be doing this instead of this. Why listen to God, listen to this person? Why listen to the Bible when you can do it this way? And so we find ourselves, as we were talking about in our upstairs class, we find ourselves being conformed to the world, being a cookie cutter cutout of what the world has to say, instead of transforming ourselves and growing for the Lord. And it happens as individuals, and it needs to happen as congregations. Let me ask you something. Have you ever turned on the TV? And as you watch the TV, maybe there's, I'll never forget several years ago, the tsunami that hit Japan. And you see this water, and it just comes as a tidal wave. And it takes out everything in its path because it's strong. Yes, water can take the path of least resistance. Water can find its way around to continue down the path that's always been taken, down the stream bed or down the river bed. But when it wants to, I make it sound like it has a choice, but I think you know what I'm talking about here. When it wants to, water can be a destructive force. And it can take down anything in its path. I want you to think of Satan standing in your way. And when Satan puts up a roadblock in your way to say, you know what? It's good enough. Just go around. Be complacent. It's all right. Why do we have to be the stream that takes the path less traveled, or take the easier path? Why can't we be the tidal wave that takes Satan out in our path? A tidal wave that knows exactly where we're going. We're going to heaven. A tidal wave that is not complacent and okay with being good enough, but a tidal wave that is moving towards goals and moving towards a direction. That's how Paul felt. He's pressing on. Let us not grow weary in doing good. Let us not grow complacent in what we do here, because we have a greater call waiting for us. And when we look at this month, giving God our best, how can we possibly give God our best when we're okay with the status quo? Because as we looked at last week, the book of Malachi, God was not okay with the status quo. Let's go give God our best. And let's be a tidal wave for the Lord. And let's show Him that heaven is where we want to be. And let's serve Him here with everything we have and never grow weary of serving Him. If you're here this morning and you want to give your life to Him, that's the first step. Give your life to Him. Don't be okay with wondering whether or not heaven is there. Don't be okay with where your life is now. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have salvation. If you don't have baptism, You can't have forgiveness of those sins, as we read about in the book of Romans chapter 6. The water's ready. Are you ready to come start giving your life to Christ today? Make the decision now before it's too late. Come forward as we stand.